Welcome to Alaskwatch, the show all about Bigfoot and the great state of Alaska. I'm your host, Beans Baxter. So lace up your boots, zip up your coat, and come with me on an adventure as we explore all things cryptid in the last frontier. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Alaskwatch. Got a treat for you guys today. Something a little different, but I think you're going to enjoy it. We have, from YouTube, the new series, Bigfoot and Jeff. It just dropped here on April 1st. It's pretty funny. It's a buddy comedy about a park ranger who hangs out with Bigfoot and they're bros. And they have adventures together. I really thought it was funny. I really enjoyed it. I'm a big fan of comedy. And as luck would have it, fate intervened. I was able to get J.J. Carroll, who is Bigfoot himself, and one of the creators of the project, and one of the writers on the project, as well as Matthew Hawksworth, who is one of the creators and a producer, and Matt Torrey, who is a director, writer, and producer of the show, and a creator. These guys are doing it all. They're just the creative force behind Bigfoot and Jeff, if you will. So fate intervened, as I said. It was so weird because I watched the short. It's a 10-minute short on Bigfoot on YouTube, Bigfoot and Jeff. I watched the short, and literally hours after I watched it, I got the opportunity to interview the creative team behind the short. It was weird. The universe was speaking to me, and I listened. So please enjoy the interview. I had a really good time. We talk about the show. We talk about the creative process of the show. And then, you know, we get into the Bigfoot community where they actually interview me a little bit about Bigfoot and things cryptid related in the Bigfoot community. So let's get into it. And here we go. All right, guys, here I am with J.J. Carroll and Matt Torrey, the creative force to be reckoned with behind Bigfoot and Jeff, a new streaming series that's on YouTube. It's available free for everybody to watch. I've seen it. I really enjoyed it. And the day after I watched it, I had like fate intervened and I got a chance to interview these guys. And I'm like, all right, the universe is telling me something here. This has got to happen. So here they are.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. All right, so this is a cryptid podcast. You guys are doing a cryptid show. So what was the inspiration behind that, guys?
Yeah, so our producer, who's not here, sadly, Matthew Hawksworth. Long story, we've been working on the show for like almost 9 years. But I used to host trivia at restaurants and bars. And Matthew, our producer, he came and he was, oh my gosh, there he is.
Speak of the devil and he appears.
He just jumped in.
Matt, I was just telling, about the story about how I was at hosting trivia at a bar. And then Matthew came up to me and he's like, hey, like, let's talk. We should create something. Cause we all went to the same college. We all went to film school. And so, so then I think the next week, Matthew and I sat down and he was kind of saying, hey, look, like, I want to do something like outdoorsy adventure and, you know, maybe about Bigfoot. And just immediately you're just like, what about a buddy comedy? I don't know, call it Bigfoot and Jeff. And then we just kind of sat there. We're like, okay, all right, I like this. Let's talk more. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. I was just like, oh, okay, what are the kind of crazy things, like, who would Bigfoot be hanging out with? Who is Jeff? And so, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Mm-hmm. We never even discussed other names. It was just always Bigfoot.
It was always Jeff. Yeah.
Just from the get go.
That's awesome.
And there was a lot of starts and stops. We tried to make it a few times and then it just didn't happen for different reasons. But then finally we got it going the last year or two. So,
So was it always a series or was there ever like, oh, maybe we should do a movie?
The idea is for it to be a movie too, eventually. So we want it to be a bunch of stuff. We've got a comic series. We've got all kinds of stuff. We're starting with the show though.
Yeah. And the food tie-in that we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
I just wanted that.
It's going to have a cooking show on the Food Network just right after Rachel Ray. So, you know, we're in the pitching process, so they don't get it yet. So that's why we're like, let's start with Bigfoot and Jeff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if I mentioned it in the intro. You know, JJ actually plays Bigfoot on the show. So mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check. I'm not 100% sure on this, but this may be the first cryptid podcast ever to actually have an interview with Bigfoot.
Wow. It
could be.
Hey, that's huge.
I think this is history in the making right here.
I love it.
Yeah. So are you responsible for all those missing people?
Oh, you know, I don't want to get into that right now.
Maybe it's sincere.
Yeah.
He's misunderstood.
My lawyer has advised me not to comment on that. So the costume, like is that something that you guys come up with on your own? Did somebody design it?
We'll let Matthew talk about that.
Yeah. So when JJ and I were talking about the ideas, we knew that when we said Bigfoot, we knew that it's a crazy idea, but we knew it was possible because we also from film school, we were graduating with some students who were starting their own special effects company. Like at the time I was doing a killer animatronic teddy bear movie. And so these students had created like 5 animatronic teddy bears. And so they were launching like their special effects house with that. And so I went to them with the idea and I was like, could you guys create a Bigfoot suit? And they're like, yes, 100%. And so then that was almost never the question of like, oh, could we do a Bigfoot? It was like always, yes, we could do a Bigfoot. The question is like, how long will it take to make the suit? And that ended up being the thing. So like, I think JJ was saying it's 2015, 2016 that like we really started going forward with the project. And it did take a while for the suit to finally get done. Anyways, special effects company is Raptor House Effects. They're now based in Colorado. But they, for all, every Bigfoot that you see on there for Bigfoot and Jeff, like they created the suit, they created the mask, did multiple fittings with JJ so that like it's fully sculpted around his face, his body. Again, it was a long process. Like it was great, like seeing each step of the way. Like JJ literally was in the test of the suit and you could see him breathing through the fur. And for me, that was like the moment where it's like, oh, we have something special here. Like, this is awesome. But then JJ, like, you can probably talk about like getting the face cast. Like, you were stuck in it for like an hour.
Yeah. It's just like I had just all this plaster on my face and I'm breathing through these straws. And, you know, Jesse and his wife were just telling me, like, okay, just like breathe slow. Like, but if you start to freak out, it's okay. We can pull it all off, but you're just going to have to start again. And so I'm like in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it feels like I was trapped. And I just kept on just like slow breathing. And then Laura would just check in on me. She's like, are you doing okay? I was like, And then she's like, you want me to play that song for you again? I was like, So I was like, I had my music that was soothing. But yeah. Oh, the other thing too, is since it took so long, you know, it's like, when I first did the fitting, I was about 15 pounds lighter. And so when we came back to the shoot, Jesse's like, oh, so it's sticking a little bit. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think that's on you, man. But I have since gone back to the gym. So now it's a little easier. But
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like a waterbed or a feather top pillow, like what's it like being in the suit? Like what's the comfort range?
Gosh. You know, it really depends on the elements. And so so our promo video we filmed kind of in that was like right summer, like really, like really
September,
hot.
Yeah.
September, so it was like really hot out here in California. And then we shot in January where it was freezing. So what we've come to find with the show is like if we shoot in the summer, I'm screwed. If we shoot in the winter, the whole rest of the crew is screwed. So because I felt fine in January, you know, I was like, I'm chilling. But in the summer, I was just it was pretty awful. I mean, I get sweaty no matter what. There is a cooling vest with some ice packs, which is nice. And but yeah, sometimes like all the glue that's like on my face, like once it gets sweaty in there, that just starts like to drip and it just feels like the weirdest stringy thing. And then the hairs get stuck in there. But you know what? It's what we got to do for art.
You have to suffer for art.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to.
So was that where you were always like, I'll do it. I'll be Bigfoot. I'll volunteer as tribute. Or was that like, was that just like a, this was that we did you volunteer or was it just like, no, I want to do it. I'll do it. You know, like, or was it,
you know,
it work out?
I was like, yeah, I'll be Bigfoot, not thinking about like, oh, this is going to be like a full on process. And then afterwards, I remember, I think I said it like half jokingly. I can't remember when this was, but I was like, yeah, maybe I'll be Jeff and we just get somebody else to be Bigfoot. But
well, because I remember that when we were talking, when we pitched the initial idea, the idea in my head was that you would be Jeff because you're so tall. Like JJ's like 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3". Half.
So I thought it'd be funny if a tall person was friends with an even taller person, like Bigfoot. And like you were like, no, I'll be Bigfoot. And so then, but what's funny, jumping forward, when we were shooting the promo shoot, there was one moment where you can just see on JJ's face where he's just like, oh crap, like did I make a bad decision? Made Bigfoot, because he was like sweating, it's like crazy, and like you could just see it in his eyes, just like, do I want to be doing this or not? And then he pushed through and he did such a great job. So
yeah.
Like I signed on for this, so but it, honestly, seeing the suit, like, and once I kind of put it on, like in the mask and everything, and I was like, all right, this is like, I mean, Jesse and his team just did such an incredible job, and so it just made like kind of the acting part easy. Like I was just like, oh yeah, I get it. Like I know kind of how I'm supposed to be, and so and then seeing like seeing how it looks on screen, I'm just like, man, that it's all worth it.
Yeah, it's a great looking suit. You know, I've seen a lot of Bigfoot videos, and a lot of them are fake. Some of them I think are legit, but I think if you got that costume in the right lighting, I think you could fool a lot of people.
Yeah, I think the coolest part of it is just when people see pictures and they know JJ, or even if they don't know him, like it's the fact that it's built specifically to him and his body and his face and even his fingers. Like his hands had to be in the molds for those gloves and everything. Mm-hmm. It's all specifically to him.
Yeah.
And it was cool too, like being on set, because we did all the camera tests and things like that in a studio, like in the studio behind me. And it's one thing to see him on camera, like in a stage, but then when we were actually in the woods, like filming the pilot, it was so surreal, because like it just felt like he blended in so well with the natural environment. And that was just such a great feeling to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I meant to ask you, I forgot to put this on my list of questions. So when you guys are filming out in the woods, is there any kind of safety precautions? Do you throw like an orange vest on him, like Chewbacca in Return of the Jedi, so that nobody accidentally takes a shot at him?
Right.
Well, but we also did film this kind of on like a camp. So like we rented out the camp so there wasn't really a lot of people around or anything. But when we do film out in the woods, like in the future going forward, we will do that kind of thing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we should. That'd probably be a...
Yeah.
JJ's like, that's a good idea. Yeah, we should do that.
No, I actually just want you, JJ, to just go deep in the forest. I have some ideas for some very long shots. I want to just go out alone.
That's great.
I want to film it in some hunting areas.
Yeah.
Matt's over there. Do you know how much publicity this will get us?
Yeah. I mean, we did talk about, during our promo shoot, we're like, should we just go to the park, like, real quick and just, like, and get something, and we're like, maybe not. Maybe like we don't want to like cause too much of a stir yet.
So instead, how much? We're shoot. JJ was literally riding in a golf cart to that forest location. So he's literally like, he had the mask off, but he's in the full Bigfoot suit minus the mask, just riding in a golf cart. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
How much time does it take to get in and out of the suit?
It takes, I would say, about like 45 minutes or so. To an hour. So it just kind of depends. The suit itself like gets on like pretty easily. The most intensive is like just getting all like the mask and everything situated, and then like after the mask is on, just like making sure all the hair is like in a right spot. And like sometimes Jesse's like, hey, I gotta sew on some more like stuff here. But yeah, it's like about 45 minutes to an hour for the full process.
Yeah. And then you have a groomer following you around with a comb.
Pretty much. So we have a safe word where it's like, if there was ever like a hair in my mouth or something like that, or if I felt like this, hey, something's, the glue is drooping or I need something, I just yell salami and Jesse would come over running. So we got it down. We got it down to a process by the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was an excellent, what is it, like 10 minutes long, short. And I felt like, I mean, it's really tight and I didn't feel like any time was wasted. I really enjoyed it. And I loved, there was even at the beginning, for those of you out there that like cryptid stuff like I do, There's a few little Easter eggs where the park ranger's talking to the guests and they're asking about Bigfoot. And he's like, oh, no, no, no. And somebody says, well, what about that Bigfoot in Colorado? And those of us that follow the subject know there was a video that came out of Colorado last year. Was that intentional or did that just, was that just,
I mean, you probably know more about that kind of stuff than us, but I mean, we had done some research to see, you know, what some of the stuff was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, your guys' suit is better than that suit.
Yeah. What's funny about that though, is like, because when that video did get dropped for the Colorado sighting, we were all talking about it because the Jesse Velez and Raptor House Effects is in Colorado. So when we saw that video, my initial instinct was that he went out and tested the suit, like, mm-hmm. on his own. Because, like, just, like, seeing that video and knowing how close it was to where his special effects house is, my initial assumption was he was just out for a weekend testing the suit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. He claims it wasn't. So, but for sure. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't, because that suit was not near the quality of the suit in the show.
It looked a little different.
Yeah, it was fun. Like that week, like people were, because like a lot of our friends have known that we've been working on this project for a while. And we're like, hey, we're getting the pilot filmed here soon. They were texting me like, is this you? Is this you? Like I think 15 to 20 people just texting me and saying, this is great marketing. And I was like, yeah.
We'll take it. Okay.
So are there any plans for the future? Like, do you have any bunch of episodes in the vault written and ready to go, and are we gonna get an origin story for Bigfoot and Jeff, how they became friends?
Well, we'll see. We've written the whole first season so far, so basically we have 12 episode first season that we're trying to make right now with this campaign, and then from there we want to do more seasons. We have a movie that we've already basically planned out and everything. So the first season is kind of just more, you know, about Bigfoot and Jeff's kind of adventures, just with the two of them, where they're in the woods and Jeff's really the only one who knows that Bigfoot exists. But then the movie kind of is going to be after that, when maybe the, you know, Bigfoot gets discovered by the world, that kind of thing. So
we shake up the first season too with Bigfoot and Jeff's like friendship by adding in a love interest for Jeff, and seeing how that kind of shakes up his best friend, his relationship with his best friend, because now all of a sudden he's not just focused on his best friend, he's now focused on just love interest. So
yeah that sounds awesome. Is there any plans for any other cryptid Easter eggs or appearances? Or
I want to do, when we have the budget, I want to do like an episode where all his cousins come to visit, where it's like a reunion where there's like a Yeti and all this kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I had this scene in my head where I was going to ask you guys, like, why is it Bigfoot and Jeff? Why not the Loch Ness Monster and Jeff? And then JJ goes, I can't swim.
Yeah.
Well, there was at least in one of the drafts, I can't remember where we
it's in there. Yeah. In one of the episodes. Yeah.
We do have a Loch Ness Easter egg coming up. So.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I think the cryptid community, when they get into the show, they're going to love it, because if you sprinkle in enough Easter eggs in there and, maybe look up some cryptozoologists, you know, like Googleman's, Lauren Coleman, stuff like that, and just add in like drop little names here and there or something, they'll eat that stuff up. I know I would. I'm a geek for that kind of, I mean, you could tell looking back here, I'm a nerd. I got all kinds of nerd stuff back there.
Now, have you ever been to any of like the Bigfoot conventions?
Dude, I've spoken a couple of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. I'm not famous, but if you mention my name in Bigfoot circles, most people have heard. I'm like Captain Jack Sparrow, you know, like.
I love it.
You have heard of me. So I get around.
You've originated so many memes, right?
Oh, I'm the Bigfoot meme lord. I
love it.
Yeah. Like I started like taking a lot of my frustrations in the Bigfoot community. And that's like my therapy. I'm like, oh God, this crap again. And then I make a meme about it and I post it and I feel better.
You don't have to share anything you don't want to, but what are your main frustrations with the Bigfoot community?
A lot of the we call them like the red circle mafia. It's people that will just take a picture of like a tree line. And of course, you know, there's some shadows in the tree line, and then they'll just draw red circles around the shadows and be like, there's a Bigfoot there. There's a Bigfoot there. That there's a baby Bigfoot. If you guys can throw in like a baby Bigfoot, like joke somewhere where like somebody's like, I think there's a Bigfoot over there. And then just have somebody in the background go, and it's carrying a baby. That'll go over pretty well, because every time somebody posts a picture like that, they're like, oh, there's one over here. And then somebody will chime in and it's carrying a baby. Yeah. Just that kind of stuff. It's like a Rorschach test for Bigfoot. And nobody ever takes like a follow-up photo. We're like, okay, here's a tree line with some dark shadows. And then here's the same tree line, 20 seconds later with no shadow, because obviously it moved. Like, nobody does anything like that. It's just all, you know, one picture, one blurry picture and some red circles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Got it.
Yeah. With that's probably my main one.
Yeah.
On the flip side too, like what, cause I know you document so many like videos that you've seen and photos and everything like that. And we did a lot of research before going into the show, but like, I'm curious for you, what would you say are like the top three videos that like we should see that like are, you think are the best videos out there of proof of Bigfoot?
Well, I think the Patterson-Gimlin film is probably number one. And there's a lot of, like, you can do a deep dive into that. And there's a few reasons, like, okay, maybe that is fake, but there's a lot of reasons why. Because when I went into it, when I really got into, like, Bigfoot and started looking into it, I thought it was fake. I thought the PG film was just a guy in a suit. And I heard Dr. Jeff Meldrum speak about it at the International Bigfoot Conference. I think it was in 2016 I went. And by the end of his like lecture, I was like, holy shit, like that's real. Like Patty's real. And there's just a lot of things that he mentions about the way she moves. If you just watch the film and you're not like an expert in anatomy and stuff, kind of like he is, you're just like, yeah, okay, it's a guy kind of walking funky. But when he breaks it down and like does it step by step, like her gait, like when she moves her leg, her leg comes up at a 90 degree angle, swings forward, and then comes down. Her arms are longer than they should be. And this is back, you know, like I think Planet of the Apes came out that year in 67.
Yeah.
And their costumes were cutting edge. And these were like two guys from Yakima, Washington. Mm-hmm. So how did they pull that off? You can see in some of the frames and some of the better quality reproductions of the, not reproductions, but copies of the video, you can see it looks like maybe she's got some facial movements going on, which would be very hard for a costume to reproduce. Yeah. As you guys know, in 1967, when they didn't have spandex or Lycra or anything like that, her hands appear to move. Like I said, her hands seem too long for her body, and she appears to have some finger movements in there again, which would require like extensions or something. I mean, you guys know all this. Hmm. And that's really hard to reproduce. And there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, Bigfoot people actually came to the scene like the next day. They didn't, you know, they found the tracks. They didn't find any obvious signs of hoaxing or anything like that. And, you know, I've sat down with Bob Gimlin himself, one of the gentlemen that was there, and I've heard him tell the story, and I've got to ask him questions about it. And I have no reason at this point to believe that he is lying. Mm-hmm. But that's probably the number one. And a lot of people think like, oh yeah, those guys went out to film Bigfoot and they just happened to come across it. And people don't realize they were out there for 20 days.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Before they got that footage.
Yeah.
They were out there from like October 1st to October 20th. And then, or maybe it was October 2nd to October 21st or something like that. But they were out there for forever. Like, they didn't just walk out of the parking lot and there she was and film it. And then, like, if they were gonna hoax it, why didn't they just hoax it in Yakima, Washington? The reason they were there is because people had been seeing Bigfoot in the area. Mm-hmm. And they had just started a logging operation in the area. They were cutting down a lot of trees, probably disrupting the Bigfoot in the area. And, yeah, that's something that people don't realize, is that they just didn't like walk up, you know, walk 30 feet into the woods and see it and take a picture. They were there for like a long time trying to find one. And I think Mr. Gimlin's sincere. I mean, maybe he'll do a deathbed confession and say it was a hoax, and nobody will be as surprised as I. Mm-hmm. But okay, that's a good one. The Freeman film is probably number two. That was filmed in the, I believe it was the Blue Mountains. And it's not as good as the PG film, because you only just see it for, I mean, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi. If you blink, it's gone. Yeah. But it appears to be a big, like, barrel-chested, like, male that kind of walks away as he gets it. And then the Stacy Brown thermal footage is pretty compelling. I believe that was taken in Florida by Stacy Brown Jr.
Okay.
Or rather his father, but he was there. And that's pretty compelling because this thing, it's a thermal footage, so it's kind of night vision-y.
Yeah.
And this thing goes from one tree to the other, and it just, the proportions are kind of weird. Its hand looks like a, it's wearing a baseball glove mitt or something. Like, it's just huge.
Yeah.
So that's pretty compelling. But again, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there when any of them were filmed. But I've spoken to enough witnesses, and I've had enough weird shit happen to me when I was out in the woods. I found tracks, stuff like that, that I think there's something to it. I'm not in the 100% believe part of a community yet, but I'm really close. I'm in the 90th percentile.
Yeah. I was going to ask if you had a Bigfoot encounter.
So have you ever heard of Port Chatham, Alaska? So it was abandoned in 1950. It was this fishing village that come up in the 20s. It was abandoned in the 50s. And we went there in 2018 to film a documentary. And I got something on thermal footage I can't really explain. It's a classic Bigfoot story. I'm looking through my thermal and I see what looks like Donkey Kong raising its arms up and down like this. Kind of like it's, I don't know. I got the impression it wasn't happy. And instead of hitting record, guess what I did? I hand the thermal over to the guy next to me and go, "Hey, look over there. Do you see something?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "It looks like a dude." And then he passes the thermal off to somebody else. And then basically it makes the way around the line and it comes back to me. And like, all our dudes are accounted for. We know where everybody is. It's none of us. We're in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. Like, there's nobody else there. And, finally, the thermal gets back to me, and I'm like, maybe I should record this. So I hit the record button, and by the time I hit the record button, it had kind of started to move back. So the I got footage of it, but it wasn't very good. So I can't explain what that was. It was just so bizarre. But that's probably the main reason why I'm like, there's definitely something to this, because, you know, we got some false positives on the thermal camera. Like, sometimes when moss and stuff starts to decay, or trees rot, they'll give off false heat signatures.
Okay.
But this was like the size of a large person and it was moving. So that's, it obviously wasn't like a false positive. I don't know what it was, but it, there's legends that Bigfoot live in the area. So, I mean, you know, I'm, I don't know what it was, but it freaked me out.
I'm sure. Did you end up going back to that area?
So I went back, the next year we went and filmed for, Travel Channel, and of course we had a Travel Channel film crew with us, so there was like, the first time we went, there was like, there was like five of us. The second time we went back, there was like 10 of us, because it was a whole film crew, and there was like nothing really happened. So I don't know if it was because we went at a different time of year, there was more people, therefore, you know, we made more noise and scared things away, or if it just was a fluke and, you know, we just stumbled on it the first time.
You got it. Okay. Interesting.
I'm sorry, I got disconnected for a minute, but I heard most of the story.
Yeah, it's all right.
But so basically you saw it, but then you didn't get a chance to film it.
I got it, but only after the thermal had like been down the line and back. And then I hit record, and by that time it had started to move away from us. So I got it super. I mean, it's a blob squatch, you know, super grainy thermal footage. But yeah. And that would be an interesting plot for the show. You know, Bigfoot hunters come to the park. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to have to do something like that.
That's kind of the plot of the movie we want to make, is hunters come to the park because Bigfoot's been spotted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, let me know when you're ready, and I can be an advisor on that. And
great. Yeah, we'd love it.
But I was going to ask you, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, because I love in your podcast how you take a clear stance, like you're not going to dox anybody, like where their locations are at or like where the things site. How frustrating is that for the Bigfoot community, where it's like, you want to know all the details of it, but at the same time, you got to treat people like in their privacy with respect.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of it's a double-edged sword, where at the same time, like, I don't want to say, okay, you know, Matt saw a Bigfoot at his house and it's located at, you know, 123 Elm Street. And then all of a sudden, like, every Bigfoot hunter in 100 miles shows up at your house.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that to happen. But at the same time, I'm like, I can just, oh, okay. You know, I can't tell you who saw this or where they saw it, but, you know, and then come up with this fantastical story that nobody can verify because I'm sworn to secrecy. I can't tell you. So it's one of those deals where like, man, it's frustrating. You don't want to betray somebody's trust. But at the same time, you know, a story that you can't verify is just that. It's just a story.
Yeah. And then for a lot of like big, like people like who hunt Bigfoot, if you will, it's like, what are they like, what's the goal? Is it to just get the footage to prove the existence? Or are there people who are like, oh, I want to like kill a Bigfoot? And, you know,
there's pro kill and no kill. Mm-hmm. So there's basically the two camps. I'm kind of in between. I don't think we should just go out and randomly shoot a Bigfoot in the head. But if somebody does have the opportunity to take one in like self-defense or something, hey, I'm all for it. You know, like let's, and my goals mostly are to prove it to myself right now. Like I want to see one so I can say, yep, they're real.
Yeah.
And I'll either, when that happens, I'll reassess and move on. I'll either say, yep, they're real, I'm done. Or I'll say they're real and I got to prove it to everybody now. So, but a lot of people, you know, they're into it. They want to prove it to science. You know, they want to prove that it's a real species. And I think a lot of them honestly are in it for, you know, the recognition that would come with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is the belief among most believers that basically they're just not seen or really like much proof of them because they're just so intelligent that they make sure they're not seen?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of scarcity and intelligence. You know, if you put somebody in the woods with near human intelligence, like a really smart animal, and their primary focus was to not be seen, you'd probably never find them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the terrain that I've been in, some of the places I've been, like Port Chatham, you know, where it's just, you can't walk and look ahead at the same time. You have to step over this root and move around this puddle, and then, oh gosh, what is that? You know, and then, you know, you look up and you're like, if there was anything within 100 yards of me, it would have seen and heard me and taken off.
Yeah.
So it's not a far stretch of the imagination, especially up here in Alaska, to believe that something that large could remain unseen. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I've heard both sides of the stories too about that, where they said like, the hunters who have encountered a Bigfoot, like when they see it, they feel like it's so human-like that they're like, they can't pull the trigger because they get that fear. Whereas other people, I've heard the other side too, where they did shoot it and it just like, the bullet didn't do anything to it. It just like keeps on going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a big, you know, that's a big theme in Bigfoot sightings is, I saw it, you know, hunters would logically be, you know, some of the people that would encounter them the most. And they're like, I saw it. It looked human. I just couldn't bring myself to pull the trigger either, you know, through moral or legal, you know, reasons. Yeah. I didn't want to shoot a person and I didn't want to, you know, get in trouble if I shot a person. So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why the mystery persists. And, you know, on the skeptical side of it, I say if scientists invented a Star Trek-like technology tomorrow that could scan the entire Earth, mm-hmm. and they could say, okay, there's 8,346,000 humans. There's, you know, 6 billion dogs, 3 billion cats, or what? You know, just they could scan Earth and every life form, and then go, guess what, guys? There's no Bigfoot. Yeah. Then I promise you, the hardcore Bigfooters would be like, oh, that's too bad. The last one probably died last week. You know, so
yeah.
Well said. Yeah.
So it's almost like a religion to some people, you know, like it's, mm-hmm. it's, they're really dedicated to it being real. And like I said, I'm one of those people that thinks it probably is real. Like I'm on that, but I can also kind of see the other side of the fence as well.
Yeah.
Wait, and with your belief of it being real, are you on the camp that it is like a true animal, or like I've heard theories where it's just like, it's definitely like a interdimensional being that comes in and out. Have you heard that theory?
Yeah, I think it's just some kind of like relic hominid or something, you know, something that survived, you know, that kind of took a turn at an evolutionary junction and went that way when we went this way. And for whatever reason, I think they've evolved to avoid us, probably with good reason. And that they're just, I don't know, maybe they're waiting for their turn. Maybe when we like nuke ourselves out of existence, maybe they're going to come out of the woods and it'll be their turn. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's nature's backup file, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's all, because if you look back in history, there's always been stories about wild men and you right. know, people, yeah. creatures living in the woods that are like people. And maybe that's like some kind of safeguard. Maybe that's like, okay, you know, these guys screwed up. It's time for these guys to have their chance. Now let's evolve them. I don't know.
I think he's just a misunderstood bro who needs a friend.
Yeah.
and likes Mater Mallows.
Likes Mater Mallows.
Yeah. So are there plans to partner with a marshmallow maker and to distribute Mater Mallows?
I hope so. I mean,
there should be.
We'll add that to the list, but I mean, because Bigfoot, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, that was when we were talking of like, what does Bigfoot eat? It's like, oh, what's like probably left over most from like campsites? It's like, oh, it's like the marshmallows that fall into the fire or the pack that just gets left or like the random, like, you know, hot dogs, you know, and things like that. So then it kind of turned into.
He loves marshmallows.
That was unexpected and hilarious.
It's funny, like while we were filming that, we had to do multiple takes of it, but it was always written that it was ketchup. But then when we were on set, we're like, why didn't we think of like using like jelly, like strawberry jelly or something like that? Because like the actor literally had to eat ketchup and marshmallow back and forth. So we're like, why didn't we think of like grape or sorry, like strawberry jelly on the day of so we could like eat something that you'd actually want on a marshmallow?
Yeah.
But, well,
but Bigfoot really does like want ketchup on a marshmallow, man. Yeah. That's the point.
No, I meant the human. So Jeff had to eat it multiple times. Bigfoot, he did go.
Honestly, guys,
yeah.
I don't know if this is, I mean, let's attribute this to JJ's acting, but when he was talking about it and talking about how good it was, I mean, I literally found myself sitting there going, I wonder if that is good. Maybe I'll try that. And then I think when he tried it and he's like, oh, that's terrible. I was like, oh, never mind. But you almost had me.
Your palate's just not there yet, but it's an acquired taste. You'll get there. Yeah, it's funny. I felt bad. I felt bad for Kevin, just giving Kevin Medlin, who plays Jeff, who just, we love him so much. He's so amazing. But when I just, I was like, all right, one more take of this. So just had to do that a couple times. But
yeah, I'm sure you didn't blow any of those takes on purpose, just so.
No.
You wouldn't do that to him.
Never.
Yeah. All right. Well, I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was hilarious. And I actually can't believe that nobody's like thought of it before. I saw it and I was like, Bigfoot and Jeff, what is it? And then I'm like, that, you know, it's funny, it's comedy, mm-hmm. you know, almost like it kind of like Harry. And there's a shout out to Harry and Henderson's another yeah. cryptid Easter egg, a beloved movie by most Bigfooters. But yeah, it just, man, I was like, this is great.
Oh, thanks. Glad you liked it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's been some Bigfoot stuff, but like there's even a Bigfoot movie coming out with Jesse Eisenberg, but like they're more like dramatic or horror even usually, you know, so it's kind of a market that's untapped.
It's a welcome change to the Bigfoot as a killing machine thing going on, which honestly, you know, there's a lot of people out there right now. That's their thing. They love the scary Bigfoot stories.
Yeah.
But I think this is a nice palate cleanser to that kind of stuff. It's just a good, wholesome comedy, you know, about a couple of dudes out in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a palate cleanser. You could call it the Mater Mallow of Bigfoot stories.
Well, even when we were talking in our first meeting, when like we even came up with the idea, it was just like when we landed on buddy comedy, we were just like, I really don't think that anybody's ever done this. Or it's like, if they have, like, it's just like Bigfoot doesn't talk. He just grunts, you know. So that was one thing that like immediately, I think we had the conversation is like, do we have him speak a different language or grunt? And then I was just like, no, I think he's just like, yeah, what's up? I'm Bigfoot. Hey, you know, and that was just kind of and we just found that so funny. It was like,
yeah,
it's just like unexpected. And like, you think like, oh my gosh, this thing's going to kill me. And then it's just like,
yeah. Well, that's it. You've been programmed to believe that Bigfoot's this hairy monster. And then when you see him and he's like, hey, what's up? You're like, Is this even scarier? Like, yeah. I don't
know. Yeah. And I mean, throughout the season, you see more of kind of like his sensitive side, or even too, just like how he views the world, like just through his lens of like the things that he has that have been left over in the campsites, or just that he's just collected over the years that informs his view of the world. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to kind of tap into some more of those. I think some of our later episodes, like I still pick up and like I read through them like and just make like, man, like this is just so so fun, and just like kind of see their Bigfoot and Jeff's relationship evolve throughout the season, just really a blast. So hoping that we can get the rest made.
Yeah,
I'm curious about this Jeff gets a girlfriend storyline. I could see that going a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Bigfoot has always had all of Jeff's attention and vice versa. So it's like, what's he going to do now that Jeff wants to spend some of his time with this other person now?
Well, who hasn't been in a situation like that where you're like, buddy, like gets a girlfriend or something, and then you're like, well, I guess I'll go to this football game by myself or something, you know?
Just want me to come to dinner? You sure? I mean, I can third wheel. Yeah.
So is anybody that works on the show, are they a fan or a believer in cryptids?
I mean, I don't know if anyone's a full-on believer. What do you know, Matt? I don't know.
That's actually a great question. We should have asked that when we were talking with everyone, like on set. Like, do you guys believe in Bigfoot?
I know we've talked about it a bit among ourselves, but
yeah. Well, because I grew up in Idaho, and so like there's just so many stories that like it's just a matter of fact that you believe in Bigfoot, because there's just so many other people who have not necessarily evidence, but just firsthand experience like with stories. Whereas like everyone else on the crew, like majority of the crew, like grew up in California, like in LA. So I don't know what their initial thoughts were on Bigfoot. There were no skeptics on set. There's no one like voiced their opinion where it's like, this is unbelievable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, it's like the Montana, like it was kind of the same. It was just like, yeah, Bigfoot's like, I've just always been like, yeah, Bigfoot's are probably real. And it's like, I've never really gotten into like the lore and the like and everything, but I've always just been like, yeah, I'm sure like that they exist in some form, you know.
I'll say I'm the more skeptical of us, but I'm not like, oh, I don't, it couldn't exist. Yeah. But I'm more skeptical by nature, and I'm like, what Jeff says in that speech is kind of like how I believe of like, I just tend to think if it's the simplest answer is the correct answer of why hasn't it been caught on film more or whatever. But you know, I could be convinced still, but by nature, I'm more skeptical.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with skepticism. Scofticism is not good, but skepticism is healthy. You know, I live in Alaska. I have bears and moose in my backyard. I get a lot of pictures of them, but there's been just as many times where I've seen something really cool and I've been like, oh, and it's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, after a few encounters like that, you're just like, I could easily see, especially if you see something you're not expecting to see,
yeah,
how you can just be like, oh, damn it. You know, like, I can't believe I didn't get that on film.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you guys might be out there filming in California and you might get one on in the background, like walking around.
True. Well, the plan is we're hoping to film the rest of the season, at least part of it, in Montana. So you never know.
Ooh, yeah. Well, you know, Northern California has a rich history of, well, the Patterson-Gimlin film was filmed in California.
That's and, right, yeah.
Yeah. There was a movie that was filmed in Montana. Oh, I can't remember what it was called. And supposedly there was like a Bigfoot sighting when the film was being, it was a Western.
Hmm. Recent? I can't
remember the name. It was fairly recent. What's her name's in it? The Mandalorian.
Oh,
Gina Carano was in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, they saw a Bigfoot on there.
Well, according to the IMDb trivia,
okay,
it says there was a Bigfoot sighting while during the filming, but it doesn't go into any more details than that. So I don't know. We all know how accurate IMDb is.
Yeah, so.
Very accurate.
Interesting. Now I'm going to go look that up.
Yeah, I don't think it gave a name or anything. I think it just said like one of the crew. I think it might have named what position they held. I don't remember exactly, but
yeah.
But that's the only thing I've ever heard about it is that little bit of trivia. There's nothing more. But anyway, guys, what can people do if they want to see more Bigfoot and Jeff?
Well, the main thing is go watch the first episode. It's on YouTube. It's for free. You could just search Bigfoot and Jeff Pilot and subscribe to our channel for any future videos we post. We've been posting some behind the scenes stuff, and we'll post the future episodes there when we make them. But then we're trying to raise money right now to get the first season made. So basically we wanted to make the first episode just to show people like, hey, this is what the show will be. And so you can see it. You don't just have to trust us and hey, give us your money for something you don't know what it will be yet. So you can go to bigfootandjeff.com and you can help us out. You can get all kinds of fun perks. There's all kinds of stuff. We wrote a book together, like a kid's book is one of the perks about Bigfoot and Jeff. There's all kinds of stuff. What other stuff do we have?
The badge that's modeled after the actual Holcomb National Park badge that Park Ranger Jeff wears. Specifically to the campaign, it says I support or I heart Bigfoot and Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Another one, you could get a video, like a video shout out from Bigfoot himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say whatever you want with, you know, some caveat. You know, just but he's pretty open.
Yeah.
And then, or even two, for some high rollers, you could do an escape room with Bigfoot. So, you know, so you could do that. Just got to get down to California. But that is also, that is one of the options that's on our campaign as well.
I feel like Bigfoot would just be like, Bigfoot smash, and just knock them down.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You'd still be in the escape room, but you'd still be in the escape room.
Yeah, I've never done one. I've always wanted to. I've always wanted to, like, test my deductive skills.
Oh, you're talking to the escape room king over here. JJ's done, like, what, like 100 of them?
Not 100. I think I've done, like, 30.
Oh, really? So, well, there was a time period where it seemed like every other day you were telling me you were going to an escape room.
Yeah, there was. I mean, honestly, kind of at the I remember I did my first one with my family, like, over Christmas, like, in Montana. And I was like, this was so fun. And then it was kind of right as they were starting to pop up like everywhere in SoCal. And so me and a friend, like, we would just go on our day, like, we worked together, and on our day off, we would just go on a Monday and just go, hey, let's go do 3 escape rooms. And so we just did it like five in a row, and it was so fun. Like, I love them. And so I'm still, like, not great at them. Like, it's so funny because, like, there's like so many different types, and but they're still just a blast to do. And it's always just fun to see the artwork and kind of what people do. And some of these, like, higher end places, they just have, like, some of the coolest, like, special effects that you're like, I didn't realize there's a third room. So it's pretty fun.
I'll have to check it out. There used to be one in Anchorage. I don't know if it's still there or not. I don't know. Because it's Alaska. You would think some stuff like that would thrive in, like, the wintertime. And make their money, you know, enough to, like, survive all year. But we have a really hard time with stuff because people can go out, you know, like, well, I'm just going to go outside.
Yeah.
You know, instead of going bowling or roller skating or to the roller rink or doing, I'm just going to go outside. So yeah. Recreational stuff like that seems to have we had an axe throwing house here in the town I live in for like 10 months, I think. Oh. It was here and then it was gone. It just people just want to go play outside. There's not a lot of recreational stuff to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. I thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed the show. I urge all you cryptid fans out there to go out and check it out. I mean, it's for free. Come on. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for free. And then head over to bigfootandjeff.com. You can support the show, throw them some shekels so they can keep making it, because I really want to see what happens next, especially when Jeff gets a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Are they going to go to an escape room and Bigfoot's going to fall into the escape room?
I mean, we can ride it.
But anyway, guys, thank you so much. We've got Bigfoot himself, JJ Carroll, and we've got Matt Torrey, and then we've got the other Matt whose name I cannot, last name I can't remember.
Hawksworth. Yeah.
All right. So seek him out at bigfootandjeff.com. Watch the show, support it, and, you know, throw some shekels their way, and let's get some more of this funny show made.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beans.
Yeah.